mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 362. I'm Adam, and you know, just once I'd like to meet an alien menace that wasn't immune to bullets. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
There's no point in being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes.
Andy Nunny.
It misses Daddy.
And the most ravishing person in the whole podcast this week, Debbie Melrose.
Doctor, I have every respect for your concern for ecology, but really, one squashed dandelion.
And we can announce, thank you very much, we can announce this now, we can announce that the 2018 Comic-Con is on the weekend of the 20th and 21st of October. So, Alan T. Butcher, now you know. It's coming back. I'm now being called part of the crew, I think he said. So I must get in for free. Also, a bit of a liaison with the current new site, which is Cowes Enterprise College, and also sort of partly involved in the recruitment of Doctor Who guests.
Yay!
So, unfortunately, I don't know any Doctor Who guests, so that probably means we won't get any. However,
can I help?
No, because you don't know any Doctor Who guests either.
What about all the people that we've interviewed in the past?
Doesn't mean to say that they're going to agree to go to a Doctor Who convention on the Isle of Wight, but I have one guest almost agree. Well, he's agreed to do it, and Ben's agreed for him to do it. So we just need to dot the I's and do something else.
How about a certain artist friend of yours?
Possibly. That's my second. Sort of avenue of exploration, shall we say? But at the moment, I'm on the verge of booking somebody I like so, quite a lot and get on well with, and think would be a really great guest at the convention. But I can't reveal who until Benny Belton, the boss of the convention, decides he wants to reveal this particular thing first. Okay, so I'll keep it under my hat. Oh, where's my hat gone? Yes.
Master. Yes. Considering that everything on the Isle of Wight is within walking distance, how close is Cowes Enterprise College to you?
Well, it's like the same distance as Norfolk House is to me.
So you will be walking there.
Well, I might not want to walk to carry all the kit up there, but subsequently I may be walking, yes. Besides, the parking there is 500% better than the parking, I should say.
Oh my god, yes.
Maybe 600%.
What's with all the little pyramids sticking out at the top of the building?
That's just a archaeological feature of the college.
Archaeological feature, hey?
I'm in architectural feature, right? Points deducted. For Debbie, for laughing at my expense, and for Kirby for asking absolutely ridiculous questions. Cowes Enterprise College is a very large venue, and it's absolutely perfect for the Isle of Wight Comic Con. So you lot can shut up. Right then, let's move on. This week we're going to look at Robot, which is a story featuring an actor called Tom Baker. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. He's playing the Doctor for the next seven series of Doctor Who. Doctor Who's a series we're reviewing on this podcast. So there we go. So let's start.
Science fiction fantasy TV series.
Well, that's probably a fairly accurate assessment.
You sure about that, Kirby?
Where is my scarf?
I don't care.
Oh, it's in the car. I was.
Well, that's a good place for it, isn't it?
I was at an anime convention yesterday, and I was wearing the scarf as usual.
I'd like to point out to listeners who are missing Mary. Mary's not on the show because she's at Chicago TARDIS. Alan T. Butcher has just come on and said, the Azarians control the college, so the pyramids are understandable. 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 That's a long word. Well, Alan T. Butcher himself is the only person that can reveal that particular fact, but he's not coming as a guest. He's not the person that I'm inviting along as a guest, but I'd be absolutely thrilled to bits if he does come along. In fact, I'd be thrilled to bits if all of you. Even Andy. If Andy came along, I'd be thrilled to bits, but he can't be bothered.
Master.
Yes.
How about importing an American fan?
American fans are very happy to, for them to come along, but under their own financial.
Trying to get to Conquer Cerberus, so I don't know.
What I suggest the American fans should do is perhaps crowdfund their potential trip over to the Isle of Wight Comic Con.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's the only way it's going to happen. Right.
My sonic screwdriver has been affected by a metal shrinking virus.
Marvellous. Well, consider it's made of plastic. That's quite a remarkable thing in itself. Right. So, what's that funny noise?
It's this.
Sounds like a sonic screwdriver
it's
to me.
It's my sonic screwdriver.
Sounds like somebody hissing at me. Right. So, a robot begins with a doctor who's just regenerated, or he does regenerate, because they do a little bit of a recap with the reshot scene of the regeneration.
Yeah, it's quite a long one, isn't it? It's quite a long scene, isn't it?
Yeah, but they've shortened it, and they've grown Sarah's hair specifically for the scene as well. And then,
oh, I'm gonna have to compare those. I didn't realize.
Oh, don't be absurd. Half of the lines are different in this particular recap. Different lines. They've reshot it. Debbie, tell them.
They did reshoot it.
Thank you, Debbie. Hang on.
Bang.
Well done, Debbie. Right then, Ian Kirk says, message could not be sent. Error. Message from email transport server. Oh dear, that's a bit awful, isn't it? Yeah. Seems that a lot of my systems are going a bit funny today. Me, Adobe Cloud has gone up the chute, and Apple iCloud's going a bit funny. Okay, right, Ian Kirk, if you send to my other email address, which is A for Apple, P for Pear, V for Video, S for Sierra, at hotmail.co.uk, it might work. Have a go at that. Magic is now.
Or try the original one.
That's the one he tried, you donut. Anyway, right, back to robot. They've reshot the regeneration scene, and the doctor's gone a bit loopy. Although, the funny thing is, the loopy version of the Fourth Doctor is not that much different than the normal version of the Fourth Doctor.
That's right.
He's just not wearing his costume yet. So, Benton has been promoted, but they sort of gloss over that fact, because within a couple of scenes, bearing in mind, obviously, we've waited for the Doctor to come back from Metabolus 3. So they didn't mention at the end of Planet of Spiders that he'd been promoted, which, of course, he had. He must have been, because he just walks in to the office without his stripes, and now he's Mr. Benton.
He talks to Sarah Jane about it, doesn't he? Because she goes, oh, that's nice, about his badge.
Oh, yeah, OK, fair enough. But they'd sort of glossed over it a little bit. But anyway, so... they have a little conversation about the Brigadier showing off a little bit that he saw the regeneration on this occasion, and I quite like the fact that they just accept it's the Doctor straight away, so we don't have to go for all that rubbish that we've had in previous occasions. And then we see this really strange pixelated image that obviously I don't know what megapixels the robot's eyes have, but it must be 0.01 megapixels. as he sort
except
of
except you can see, good, you can see detail.
Yeah.
You can see detail, so it's just not exactly pixels.
Pickles? Not pickles!
Pickles. He was the dog that found the World Cup, wasn't he?
Oh, wasn't he a character out of the Goons or something? Pickles.
No, that was Eccles.
Was it? Isn't it similar then?
Yeah, Pickles found the World Cup.
Right then. Alan T. Butcher said, my fee was too high to be a guest. One day they might be able to afford me, but my attendances are better than ever. My attendances are better than Evan's bet at this point. Does that mean he's going to be going?
Sounds like it.
Good. And I apologise in advance to Debbie. Alan, don't let that put you off. And you can make her try and pronounce some of the words that you make her try and pronounce face to face.
He is evil, isn't he, Butcher?
He really is. We're recording on this occasion. According to Andy, Alan, you're evil. I think that's a bit mean, but there you go. Right then, so it'd be even more interesting if Andy decides to come along to the Comic Con, and him and Alan come face to face and discuss
I've met Alan several times, so
how evil Alan indeed is.
Yeah, but maybe I will.
Right, anyway, so the Doctor meanwhile, after the robot steals something, the Doctor goes around the unit HQ in a long night dress. Tries to get into the TARDIS, finds the key in the shoe, which is what happened.
Amazing! I've seen that before.
Yes, we've seen that before, haven't we?
And where is it? Where is it? Shoo!
Yeah. And then there's a very funny scene involving himself and Harry, in which they do a skimming rope thing. What was the rhyme? Because I wanted to put the rhyme in the quiz, but I couldn't work out what rhyme it was.
It was the mum. Hang on. I had the script up earlier.
You did?
Cheater!
Cheater!
I'm trying to work out what the name is. Honestly.
Today would be nice. Apologies to the viewers.
You keep going. Mother, I feel sick. Send for the doctor. Quick.
Is that what it's
mother
called?
Did, I die. Yes, my darling, by and by. One, two, three.
I didn't ask for the script. I asked for the title of the blimmin' thingy. Nursery rhyme. Well, thanks for that. Right, point deductive for having me wait on hand. I knew full well what they said because I watched the blimmin' episode.
Master is really mean nowadays.
No, I'm not. That's a definite point deducted there. having that messing around.
What's right, the score?
Minus one, right. So, yes, so after doing a skipping rope thing with Harry, and Harry ends up in a cupboard somehow, upside down, the doctor is about to go. I think he should have done, to be fair. But, he gets called back by Sarah and the Brigadier, and then that bloke who controls Daleks, I can't remember, is it John Scott Martin or something like that? Gets attacked by the robot while he's stealing stuff, and the doctor starts trying some absurd costumes, probably to make his actual costume look a bit less absurd. I think that's the basis of this scene, because I would have thought that the doctor going from looking a suave, sophisticated, frilly shirted person into a bohemian person wearing an extremely long scarf would be a little bit absurd. So they start him off wearing a variety of different stupid costumes.
Master.
Yes.
King of Hearts costume?
Yes.
That was used only about 2 years before in a BBC production.
Okay, thank you for that. I thought, yes.
I can find the actual production.
No, thank you. That's not necessary. Thank you, Kirby.
I did recognize it.
You did recognize it, did you?
The costume. I didn't know where from.
Okay, I'm biting my lip. Okay, so he tries on some absurd ones and then comes out wearing his more traditional, recognisable, bohemian, long-scarfed costume, which did, to be fair, look a lot less absurd than the ones he always done, which emphasises my point is why they made him wear absurd costumes in this particular period of trying on costumes. This was the first time the Doctor had a scene of trying on lots of different costumes, which then became a bit of a tradition afterwards. So he's immediately into Fourth Doctor. Once he's got the costume on, he's immediately the Fourth Doctor. There's no messing around with his brain cells or whatever happens, you know, where the Doctor goes a bit loopy after regeneration. He is the same from this point on for the rest of his time as the Doctor. Nobody's disagreeing with me because they know I'm right. So, point for everybody.
He just automatically comes in and he just settles straight into it, doesn't he?
That's for everybody for not disagreeing with me. So, well done. Right, so there's some very sinister characters who seem to be a bit neo-Nazi-ish. This woman with what you can only call as a John Lennon haircut from 1966, and some bloke who's got a bit of he's a bit bald, isn't he? He's a bit more bald than me, actually, to be fair. Except he's got a great big long bit at the back, which I suppose I could grow if I really put the effort into it, but I wouldn't do that. And, so she goes, pokes her nose around using her journalistic abilities at this facility, while the Brigadier tries to think of a way of finding out what's going on with this. Do they know it's a robot by now? I'm not quite sure. But nevertheless, Sarah Jane's about to find out that it's a robot. There's a hole. That's right, because the robot manages to burrow through solid concrete and various other things to get into a vault and kills a soldier. And then we meet Professor Kettlewell, who needs his hair brushing desperately. He's got this sort of bouffant sideways that comes out.
It's mad professor over, hair down
over exaggerated mad professor. I mean, do you remember the professor that was in Invasion?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not the same bloke. Is it the same bloke?
Hello? It looks like it. I don't know.
Kirby will tell me within the next minute or so. But, so Kettlewell is, he's the mad professor. But the hair is pretty, really funny, sorry. I wonder if the actor actually went around when he wasn't playing this character with his hair like that.
He looks like a mad professor.
And then, at the end of episode one, Sarah walks face-to-face with, or meets face-to-face with the robot. I see face-to-face. The robot hasn't really got that much of a face. It's, well, I suppose it has, really. But it's got the eyes and mouth, so I'd say it hasn't got a face. Yeah, so, and then she's rescued by the creepy people from Think Tank. And Think Tank, wasn't that used in a later Doctor Who story? I think it was called Sharda? Or am I missing something there?
I don't know.
You don't know. Blimey, that's a first.
Blimey, if there's something Adam does, not Kirby doesn't know, blimey, that's got to be a
first. Well, got to be. Pardon?
I've been busy posting the picture of Dennis Price and is in the same outfit in 1972 that the Doctor's wearing.
There, yeah, since you've been quiet, Kirby, Magic sort of settled down, has not been so nervous, and he started talking again. He's gone. He's shaking and panting again. He's now gone and sat by the front door. Just swivel the... There he is, look.
Where
there
is
he is, sat by the... Well, if you scroll the picture over to the left or right, depending on which way you're looking...
Oh,
there is Magic.
Magic. Hi, Magic.
Every time Kirby talks, that's what he does. Right then.
Sure.
He's my dog. Uh-huh. He's definitely my dog. Yeah. Right then, so back to Doctor Who. Yeah, so Sarah sort of is quite intrigued by the robot, who seems to be quite nice and friendly at this point, and he's shown rather scarily that he wouldn't hurt a fly on a human's face, because he's told to attack Sarah and won't do it. But Sarah
you
gets...
You are an enemy of the human race.
I must destroy you. But Sarah feels sympathy for the robot. Now, I'm sure that reminds me of some other Doctor Who stuff in which the... Was it Sarah again probably feeling sympathy for something? Anyway, she feels compassion for the robot and feels that the robot was a bit distressed by them trying to force it to kill her. But after she's turned her back, they've got the robot's head off and they're fiddling with it, and then they do send it to kill somebody. Some sort of stereotypical Doctor Who politician, which has to have has to be quite sort of middle to old age with a moustache and look quite pompous. It's a Doctor Who politician from the 1970s. And if you actually read the blurb text underneath the article, it's got nothing to do with the actual bloke himself, because it says about Mr. Heath last night has accused the government of blah blah blah. So and they haven't even got the bloke's name under the pictures.
Blah blah blah? Really?
It's right. A hell of a thing to be accused of.
Right.
Yeah. We just lost point.
Point deducted for Debbie. Point deducted for Kirby. Right, so...
We're just not allowed to... We're not allowed to make any points.
You line them up, I'll shoot them.
Not unless they're funny. Right then, so...
we are funny. We're hilarious.
I can't remember what we're saying now. Well, not according to Magic. Not according to Magic, who sat by the front door desperate to get away from you lot. Right, the Doctor, meanwhile, is making a very strange gadget, which is, it's got a certain beauty to it, but we never find out what the gadget is. It's sort of like a clumble of circuit boards and pipes and things. Did anybody notice this? Or was nobody watching that scene?
Where was that?
Just before they sort of...
Yeah, you just did it, and they just fell over. I mean, nobody commented on it falling over, did this?
No. It's when they're persuading Harry to... sort of go and spy on a Think Tank. The Doctor goes to meet Kettlewell, because Kettlewell phones him and says, "Oh, somebody's upset the robot, and he's really he might lose his mind and stuff." Just while they're talking about that, the robot goes and kills the politician, or well, they think he's disappeared, but he just evaporates, and he gets into the safe and steals the information that the villains are after. Meanwhile,
it's really good, these things. It just dissolves a door, doesn't break anything in between.
Yes, yeah, clever,
you
weapon.
It's really sort of very very sensitive device, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm impressed with it. Sarah meanwhile goes to visit something called SRS, which is I think the neo-Nazi wing of Think Tank.
Yeah, it's a fairly obvious symbol, isn't it? I mean, that's sort of basically swastika base, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, so she goes to visit them, and they con her into thinking she can sit in the sidelines and watch it, while Harry turns up and pretends to be... What does he pretend to be? I can't remember now.
Some a professor or doctor?
A government official, maybe?
I think he's examining for medical things.
So, like I say, the doctor, meanwhile, types very quickly on his typewriter and then jumps in Bessie and zooms off.
Like music that went with that. The diddly-lilly-lilly-lilly music.
It goes off to, I think he's meeting with Kettlewell, but instead he meets with the robot who says that he's an enemy of the human race and must kill him. Now, he has quite a long sort of spat with the doctor. The doctor throws marbles down, which don't work. He just squashes them and then throws his hat on his sort of visor, and that didn't work too much. I did think at the time what he could have done was say what he said in episode 3, actually, or about the Prime Directive, but or just sort of climbed out of a window or something like that, because he's quite thin. But anyway, he gets knocked out by his little fight with the robot, and then who turns up? Oh yeah, Sarah turns up and says, "What are you doing, robot-y? You're my friend. You shouldn't be attacking the doctor. He's a good man." So he walks out through a door, and then has a few
Trigger happy unit turn up, don't they?
So Pertwee-esque battles with unit just for one last time. There is Terror of the Zygons coming up, but this is more Pertwee-esque than Terror of the Zygons is. And I think Barry Letts directs this episode. Not directs it, sorry, produces this episode, doesn't he? For the transition. I think he did, anyway. I also love the fact that you see the key to the TARDIS around the Doctor's neck quite a few times in this episode.
Yes, Barry Letts did produce this episode. Yeah.
And then, meanwhile, after the Doctor's been rescued, Professor Kettlewell is discovered to have a little bump on his fluffy head, which Sarah looks after. And Benton makes him a cup of coffee. And they're sort of conned into thinking that Kettlewell is actually quite a nice chap. In fact, they got the kettle ready for him to have a cup of coffee.
Point deducted for making a joke.
Well, that's a poor difference being that was actually quite funny, unlike the stuff you come out with. So, the doctor is trying to get to the bottom of things. So he goes to the think tank meeting and does some comedy, basically, with some cards that are stuck together with string or whatever. And
really stupid scene with the scarf as well, where he gets the guy to stand on his scarf.
Yeah, I like that. I thought that worked quite well.
Yeah, it's pretty gorgeous, isn't it?
At that time, it would have been the first time we'd seen this scarf, this story, and I thought they put it to good use on that occasion. But of course, the audience are laughing their heads off, which is quite ironic because none of us were really laughing that much. But I did enjoy the scene. So meanwhile, basically, the robot is on the rampage. There's a point, I think somebody posted the picture on the 20 megabyte page of the Brigadier with a humongous phone. I think it was Kirby.
I posted
it's the
that.
Sort of thing Kirby would do. Oh, yes, it was you, wasn't it, Kirby? Which was quite funny, really.
That's in the request for feedback.
Yeah, because Harry gets rumbled and knocked out for the first time, and one of many times that Harry will be knocked out over the next few stories. So from then on, of course, the evil people have decided what they're going to do is... I think they've got a big countdown to a nuclear explosion. What's this nuclear explosion for? Nothing? Okay, thank you everybody for watching the episodes.
It's to blackmail the world.
Thank you. Eventually, I suppose you can have a point for that.
Thank you.
Fine. At least you answered my question, Kirby. Pardon, Debbie?
You're a bit weird answering because you take points.
No, I wanted an answer. That's why I asked the question. So, like I say, back to... So there's an ongoing battle with with the Doctor and the robot. The Professor is forced to start the countdown for this, like Kirby says, ransom.
Blackmailing the world.
Yeah, this ransom, I'd call it. And yes. So the robot comes out and disintegrates a few people, and then this beautiful toy tank rolls up. And tries to shoot.
When I was a boy, I actually had one of those Action Man tanks.
Yes.
It's a Challenger tank. It's brilliant.
Yes, it was brilliant in the scene.
The first day I had it, my tracks broke.
And we get to see it. We get to see it twice. We get to see it at the end of episode 3 and the beginning of episode 4. Indeed.
Because the robot threatens to destroy them all. But he really likes Sarah. He'd be have to be very careful because 30 years later he could be accused of sexual harassment. So, but fortunately he does get done in. So the professor is forced to start the countdown, but he sees that it's probably not a good idea at some point and stops the countdown before being forced outside to have a word with the mad robot. And the mad robot is just about to kill Sarah, I think. Because he really has gone mad, but he instead kills the professor and then collapses in a fit of anxiety and remorse because he's killed the one who created him. And then, so, Miss Watson, what's a woman? Is it Miss Watson or something like that? I can't remember now.
Director.
Yeah, what's
Winters.
Her name? Winters, that's
Winters.
It. She's sort of in a state of glee, thinks that she's won because the countdown continues, but the doctor nonchalantly undoes the countdown and sticks his feet up on the desk, very Doctor-esque. And this sticking feet up on the desk, many further incarnations of the Doctor have used this sort.
I've got my feet up.
I tell you
yeah,
who.
I've got my scarf on.
Matt Smith was one who probably did that the most, and Tennant.
David Tennant. Yeah.
It was very. I don't think Capaldi did it very often, to be fair. But I'm pretty sure I've seen a scene that someone took in Wales of Jodie Whittaker doing it. I've got a story coming up about Jodie Whittaker, which anybody who is a member of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, will have already seen, but most people who listen to this show aren't. Shall I tell that story now, quickly?
You can't spell Jodie.
Shut right. 2 points deducted for Andy.
What?
Can't spell Jodie.
He's right.
Don't care. Minus one for Andy. Right then. Oh, that's gone all wrong. Oh, God, it's gone completely wrong. What's going on my computer? Minus one. It doesn't like to take minus one to Andy. Yes, I did spell Jodie Rock.
Right, too.
Right, yeah, so I got a text, I think it was yesterday, the day before, from my friend in Wales, Ian, who said that his wife had been canvassing because they're Jehovah's Witnesses and went down a certain road in Penarth, which I will not mention, knocked on the door, and Jodie Whittaker came to the door and she'd only just moved in. So I said to them, well, it would have been helpful if you got her number, the door number precisely, so I can write her a letter and get her to come to the Comic-Con. But that's work in progress at the moment, and she isn't the person I've got coming along to the Comic-Con, unfortunately. But I will try if I can get her house number so I can write her a letter.
Right. Okay.
Right, so notice I didn't give her her street name out, so anybody who goes to the place where Ian lives will not go to every single house in that town and try and find Jodie Whittaker, because that would not be fair. Right. Although I could do that, couldn't
Master?
I? Master? Yes?
Back with a note about Edward Burnham, Burnham, who played the professor.
Yes.
You know, this is his second time being a professor on Doctor Who.
Yes.
We said it was.
Yes.
We wondered where he was at, what else he was in.
Yeah, so what was it at Kirby?
Oh, it was The Invasion.
Oh, said that earlier on, right.
What?
Points deducted.
You said you weren't sure.
Yes, I said was it Invasion, wasn't it, Kirby? Now you're trying to take it as your own piece of information.
I wasn't listening to you. I was finding other information.
You weren't listening to me.
That, and I found the
I won't deduct a point for not listening to me, because that's honesty. Right then. Okay, right. So back to the Doctor Who episode we're trying to review.
It's The Invasion, Professor Watkins. Yeah,
all right,
yes,
thank
I agree
you.
With you. You were right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you will say that now in hindsight.
Yes.
Right.
I was only half listening to you. Sorry.
Same as usual then. Right. The Doctor, meanwhile, is trying to create a concoction that will dissolve metal, or the specific metal that the robot's built with. I think this is something that the Professor half developed himself, if I remember rightly. And
he was talking about it in episode one.
So him and Harry are actually in the chemistry lab doing this. But while they're doing that, the brilliant Brigadier borrows the robot's gun and shoots it at the robot. And for some reason, instead of disintegrating it, it makes it grow really, really big. And then it carries a little doll version of Sarah, which is really quite funny. Somebody said to me, oh, it looks like a doll because her legs are all floppy. Well, maybe she fainted. She was unconscious at the point. I don't know. Because it clearly is the real Sarah that the big giant monster's carrying. And then there's a typical unit versus giant monster battle, shooting it inanely.
I tell you what, they are awful shots, the units. I mean, when they were loading the robots into the horse box, what were they actually shooting at? You thought they'd have actually shot the people, they'd have shot the tyres out on the truck. I mean, there's no point shooting the robot itself. What were they actually trying to do?
I don't know, Andy, but there is a point in which the robot starts growing up and Sarah stood right next to it, not even looking up at it as it's grown, which I thought was quite amusing. Although she does later look up at it once it is fully grown and covers her eyes for the glare of the sun. There's some really great scenes with this monster stomping around the place, treading on soldiers and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah, this one gets completely squished flat, doesn't it?
Get zapped by some power cables. And Sarah's watching all this from high up in a building. The doctor turns up with Harry and Bessie and triumphantly drives past it and throws some stuff on it, and it disintegrates and dies. So one minute he's really pleased with himself having done that, but then he says later, it was a wonderful creature, blah, 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 and offers Sarah a jelly baby because Sarah's sulking. And soon gets her around to going into the TARDIS, just as Harry turns up and does the traditional, oh, what are you going in there for, sort of thing. And off they go, much to the annoyance of the Brigadier, who wanted the Doctor to do some paperwork for the government. Okay, right.
And all sorts of meetings with, like, the Queen and with Prime Minister and
celebrities and stuff, yeah. But the Doctor does eventually do some meetings with the Queen. Right, so what I think of this story, it's not a bad first outing for Tom Baker. I think it's nice that it had a Pertwee feeling about it, because it would have been a shame to do a sudden change of style like that. And I think they did the similar thing with Spearhead from Space, which had the previous series producer doing it. However, I don't think when we first see a full story with Jodie Whittaker in it, we're going to get that transition. I think it's going to be a very sudden change of style. That's just my prediction. So back to this one, though. I'm glad it's a four-parter. Obviously, we always seem to mention about the bad special effects, the CSO, or the overuse of CSO in this era of Doctor Who. But I think in this episode, they really didn't have much choice because they were trying to, you know, make this little monster look huge. But it did work better than it did in Dinosaur. What's it called? Invasion of Dinosaurs. Yes. As far as enjoyment goes, I quite enjoy this one. It's probably, for me, one of the medium episodes of Tom Baker's first series as the Doctor. A lot of comedy in it, which I don't mind in Doctor Who. Some irritating characters, the neo-Nazis, and the Professor to a certain degree. But on the whole, I think it's a fairly good introduction to the Fourth Doctor, and I'm very, very glad that Tom Baker was able to keep this sort of, what's the word for it, characterisation of the Doctor for the next seven series. And on the subject of characterisations of the Doctor, I did post a link that Alistair posted of Tom Baker as he is now dressed in the Fourth Doctor's costume by the TARDIS console, obviously reading something rather, which I thought was quite a delightful picture. So on the whole, not too bad. One of the better first introductions to a new Doctor. What did you think, Mrs. Debbie Melrose?
I really enjoyed it. I've been very much looking forward to seeing Tom Baker, and obviously he didn't disappoint in his regeneration, you know, reassessing of his marbles type thing. And he just fell straight into character. The Brig was brilliant throughout. I mean, he usually gets the best lines. And didn't disappoint this time. I mean, honestly, Tom wasn't really paying attention, but every time he heard the Brig say something, he laughed. So, you know, got that same sense of humour as him, definitely. Probably what I see in him. And, I just really enjoyed it. Thought it was really... I mean, the robot was obviously crappy, but you know.
I love the robot.
No, but that's the point. He was really lovely. Really sensitive, bless him. He was the most
great design, Debbie. The design of the robot, I think, is fab.
No, I just I'd like the way his hand bits were obviously being held by
his
human
hand bits.
Yeah, you know, his clippy bits. You know, his. I'm making very rude gestures.
Yeah, can you stop that, please?
But they're sort of really saggy, and every time they have to put like the
they're really the saggy. God, you have a choice
there's
of words,
a bend,
don't you?
There's a bend in the the metal.
When they put the gun on him, and they have to sort of really clip it in to make him hold it. I love that. I love that sort of thing because that's very, you know, Doctor Who. But yeah, as an intro story, it was long. It was the right length.
Oh my god!
I'll stop there. I loved it.
Thank you, Debbie. Right then. moving on while I go a bit pink. Andy, what did you think?
I didn't enjoy it. Brilliant. I thought it was...
Come on.
No, it was badly scripted. There's a lot wrong with it. The unit soldiers, for start, couldn't shoot straight. I mean, for goodness sake, what were they trying to do?
They're like Star Wars stormtroopers.
Yeah, I know. I just couldn't get that at all. I thought the brig was actually quite good, the way he dealt with the new doctor.
Yes.
But I thought that Kettlewell was... Well, you saw through him straight away. I thought Miss Winters, again, was someone who was just so stereotypical... I just couldn't get into it at all. I thought the old SRS was just so ludicrous. I think anyone could have seen what they were trying to do, and they were just a bunch of no-hopers, has-beens, whatever you want to call them. But they were just pathetic. It could have been so much better. It really could have been. And the monster itself, I mean, okay, the special effects were not good, let's be honest. They really were poor. Zach sat with me to the last episode, and even he got bored. I think that sums it up. I just didn't enjoy it at all.
So you didn't like it then?
No, I didn't.
Right, Kirby, what did you think?
I love it. This is one of my favorite Fourth Doctor stories. One of my favorites because it's the first Fourth Doctor story, and he's my favorite Doctor, and it's just a lot of fun. So, Andy, you're wrong.
I wonder what Mary thought.
Oh, what on earth's that funny
So noise? That's all I have to say.
That was me breaking my microphone.
Oh, I thought it might be. Right then, we've got some things coming through on the thread. We've got, what does that say? Ian Kirk saying, email problem is with my ISP. So I'd sue your ISP, Ian. I wonder if we can. Should we? Try. Even if we can't include it on this week, Ian, we'll maybe have a double barreled one next week. That'd be quite good, wouldn't it? Laurie Nick says, "Ah, late. The boss walked in. Had to look busy." Kirby Bartlett's lone post is something. What was that all about, then, dear Kirby?
It's the picture of Dennis Price in the same King of Hearts outfit.
Like, oh, was it? Okay, well done. Laura Nick said, yay, I haven't missed the point deducting.
We've had several.
Ian Kirk says, dog seems to be watching a tennis match looking from side to side. And Anna T. Butcher says, I think the guest Adam has in mind for next year's Island Con is the Garm from Terminus. Look, he's there in the back of the studio today. He's not now, he's just sitting here panting. So that concludes that part of the show. Now I've got to see if we can...
We are going through these very much faster than we used to.
Because I stop you from talking inanely, Kirby. It's a very important part of podcasting.
Points, yes.
The point deduction is necessarily a need of keeping you in check. Right then, but it doesn't seem to bother you, still very naughty. Right, we've got some audio feedback. Ha!
Dr. Phil again with another installment, Adventures in Time, Space, and Music. In this segment, we'll be looking at the music of Dudley Simpson. Here we will look at his work on Serial 4A, Story 75, Robot, which originally aired between December of 1974 and early 1975 on BBC One. After the rich acoustic textures of Dudley Simpson that we find in the late Trouton and early Pertwee eras, to the synthesizer-heavy musical world of Doctor Who in Series 8, we get the synthesis, no pun intended, between these extremes and Simpson's score to Tom Baker's first outing as the Doctor, Robot. Simpson has, once again, a story filled with the real world of acoustic instruments and the otherworldliness of synthetics, a perfect match for a new era. While Series 12 has many interesting scores, from Dudley Simpson's masterpieces The Ark in Space and Genesis of the Daleks, to Cary Blyton's final Doctor Who score in Revenge of the Cybermen, which is augmented by the uncredited Peter Howell, Robot sticks out in an interesting way. Robot is a score for the UNIT era, but is large, grand, and confident, easily as much as his score for Pertwee's Doctor's introduction in Serial AAA Story 51 Spearhead from Space. With extremely memorable brooding music for the K-1 robot, easily connecting it to classic monster movies such as King Kong, this is already the beginning of classic Baker-era sound, with highlights for the clarinet and bass clarinet, as well as brass instruments such as horn and trumpet. The percussion instruments here, such as timpani and snare, represent UNIT in this story. The score itself varies from serious to whimsical, especially as Baker selects his costume.
Is something wrong?
You've changed.
Oh, no, not again.
No, I didn't mean your face. I meant your clothes.
Don't you like them?
UNIT is supposed to be a security organization.
Do you think I might attract attention?
It's just possible. Much better, Doctor. Now, if you've quite finished with your wardrobe...
I'll try again, if you like.
No, let's settle with that, please.
Now, Doctor... Time we were off.
Off?
To visit the scene of the crime.
The thing is, there's been another robbery.
Tell me on the way, Brigadier. Yes, tell me on the way. You must cultivate a sense of urgency.
While many credit Planet of the Spiders as being Letts' farewell to Pertwee era Doctor Who, I would argue that we get a version of UNIT, musically as well as on screen, that is confident going out with a bang, as opposed to the whimper that we have in Android Invasion. While Zygons, of course, is a great late UNIT story, it is still amazing that you have a real flavor of the UNIT era in Robot, and that flavor is Dudley Simpson. Probably the most varied and affective of Series 12 scores, it strikes me the sheer variety of the synthetic textures as well as the orchestral colors makes this score a perfect contrast to the synthesizer-heavy score of the Ark in Space or the equally bleak score to Genesis. Both of these aforementioned scores are among Simpson's best, Robot also exhibits a degree of fun that isn't often seen again for many years, as the Hinchcliffe-Holmes influence turns the mood darker indeed. Here in Robot, we have a composer who knows how to make Doctor Who work, and even in the final moments, leads us confidently into the closing credits as the Doctor, Sarah, and Harry depart Earth for new adventures.
Doctor, about that dinner at the palace, Her Majesty... Yes. But I'll tell them you'll be a little late.
Well, that was Dr. Phil, everybody.
That was brilliant.
Enjoy that, did you?
Yes.
Yes, good. I did.
I should hope so too. Right. Joshua Dyball.
Yay.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Greetings from sunny Cromer in Norfolk. For a change, I thought I'd make my debut in audio this week.
Me!
I would have been 4 years old when Robot originally aired, so not surprisingly, I've got no memory of it at all. But I vaguely remember it, watching it years later. That was a long time ago, so it was nice to rewatch it. My earliest memories of Doctor Who are probably from a few years later, when I was 7 or 8 years old. Like most people, I assumed that Tom Baker was Doctor Who and always had been Doctor Who. Little did I know what was to come years and years later. I was very surprised at how quickly Tom Baker slotted into his character so quickly in episode one, a far cry from the usual post-regeneration stresses that we witnessed with later Doctors, the mamby-pambies. Once he stepped out of the TARDIS in his instantly recognisable attire, he seemed to be immediately in the swing of it. But odd to see him in a story clearly more suited to John Pertwee, and still running around in Bessie, much to my delight. I do love it when there are these little bits of overlap between the Doctors. I didn't think the robot was too bad, apart from the shoebox feet, which obviously made movement very difficult. The design was impressive, especially the head. But at times he did seem like a cross between Metal Mickey and Mr. Blobby. But that made me feel even more sorry for him. The story was not really original. How many times have we encountered robots in science fiction dealing with questions of morality, emotions and self-consciousness?
Correct.
And towards the end of the story, there were flavours of King Kong. But all in all, I enjoyed it a lot. And being only 4 episodes long, it did speed by very quickly. Professor Kettlewell amused me greatly with his hairdo and eccentricity. Again, quite a stereotypical and highly unoriginal character, but he did play the part very well. I had no idea that he was going to turn out to be a baddie. Sarah Jane was in her element, and she seemed to cope with the new Doctor very well. As for the Brigadier, seems like water off a duck's back for him, but there you go. I suppose he's an old hand now. I'm looking forward to the next story, The Ark in Space, which I hear is more in line with the type of Tom Baker stories that we come to know and love. I'm hoping that this is when I'll finally get to see inside the TARDIS again. Mm. I've got tired of seeing the Doctor
walking into hold out too much hope
box every time he supposedly goes back into the TARDIS. For me, the TARDIS is one of the most interesting concepts of Doctor Who, and I shall welcome her back. Until the next time, best wishes to you all. And keep podcasting. You'll be pleased to hear that after seeing my favourite Doctor back in my life, I've been inspired to purchase a Tom Baker scarf from Lavazzi.
Oh, you good boy.
I'm not allowed to.
And let them know.
Catch up with you all very soon. All the best from Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. Cheers, mate.
Which leads me to a fairly good segue that Lavazzi will be continuing to sponsor us as of 2018. Got Jeff Waddle, who says, "At last, my favourite era of Doctor Who. Tom Baker hits the ground running on the spot. I remember this one on transmission, and all Tom's eccentricities are there from the start. And I bloody loved him from the off, after loving the show but never liking Pertwee. Not the best story so far. Sorry, by far. That's a good thriller in here. Oh, sorry, there's a good thriller. Oh, can I start that line again? Sorry, Jeff. Not the best story by far. There's a good thriller in there. The Robot, I think he means robot, the Robot is a beautiful creation and I just wish they had kept him normal size instead of turning him into an Action Man tank-crutching giant. You can see it was written as a Pertwee story, though, with the regeneration stuff tacked on and dealt with quickly. Not great, not bad, but the best is yet to come. Debbie Melrose has been forwarded some text, which she will now read.
Yay!
Good luck, Debbie.
Hair today, gone tomorrow. Kettlewell's ephemeral... dream or in the bleak Miss Winters. Dear 20 Megabyters, Robot is, of course, a closely studied reassessment of scientific philosophy and ethics, this time with the political implications explored. It cautions against the overextension of unalloyed technocracy, or whatever it is, leading on to authoritarian extremism, with ruthless pursuit of totalitarian fascism being the concomitant worst-case scenario. It further lays out the seminal progenitor of these dangers can be genuine and earnest desire by a brilliant and well-meaning man to make the world a better place. The resolution of the story demonstrates that a scientific rebuttal of the manifest danger may be the only possible response, but in turn may fail and then succeed. The disintegrator gun feeds the crisis and the metal virus eliminates it. Either way, innocents suffer. Further examination is brought to bear on the mad policy of mutually assured destruction, which is shown to be both fraught with risks and prone to exploitation by unethical actors. You may well have missed it, but there is also a very subtle allusion to Isaac Asimov's postulated laws of robotics. I had to explain who Isaac Asimov was to Ida, actually, because I said, ooh, Asimov. He didn't say that. It would be nice to think they might revisit this subject sometime in the next few years. Even more subtly still, the pathos of King Kong is referenced by the titular tumescent protagonist. No, really, look back at it and you kick yourself for not noticing. It should be noted that although... I can't read it.
Yes, you can.
Book's frozen.
Ah! Is it back again?
No. It's gone. It won't let me read it.
These excuses!
Uh-huh. No.
Seriously.
Where'd you get up to then, Deb?
There we go. No, come on.
Where'd you get up to, Deb?
The King Kong reference. It should be noted. That's where I got to.
Oh, dear. I'm not sure. This is slick.
Sorry.
Good grief. I don't know where that bit is.
I can't even back out of it. It's completely stuck.
Reload it.
And that's what I'm waiting for.
Oh. Quit out of the program and reload it.
What I'm doing.
Good girl. Meanwhile, I'm trying to find the bit you're relating to. Well, while you're doing that, some things have come through.
Hang on a minute, I've got it. Here we go.
You've got it. You're back now.
Okay. Yay!
Front and sides too.
Just waiting on it. Here we go.
I didn't say anything.
It should be noted that all. Sorry, Alan. Let's carry on. It should be noted that although some might suggest the tank effect is rubbish, we cannot be sure that this was not supposed to be a remote-controlled toy-sized land drone with super-powerful artillery. We also learn that Professor Watkins went off the rails when he assumed a new identity, came across as a spy controller which had somehow fallen back through time, and after guessing on Pimp My Cyborg, passed off the result as a robot of his own design, thus inspiring some technocratic fascists to make their play for a global putsch. All in all, Robot is a lively start to a long Doctor with a longer scarf.
Yes.
The decoupling of the Let's Dicks gestalt is underway, but they still had a solid start for the new Doctor and perfectly execute the differential and continuity of our hero's new persona. This Tom Faker chap is very different from the much-vaunted Pertwee.
Tom Faker?
It says Tom Faker. This Tom Baker chap is very different from the much-vaunted Pertwee, but he may be onto something here. Next up, Doctor Who and the Green Bubble Wrap of Death. Those are my thoughts.
Yay.
And I apologise for butchering it.
Butchering it? Well, good. Yes. I like that one. That was brilliant. Right, that's a point for Debbie. That was really, really, very good.
Yay.
Yes. Alan has posted a picture on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page of the giant robot with him in the background wearing a 20 Megabyte T-shirt, which I rather adore. So well done, Alan. Right.
Point to Alan.
Well, give him a point, you daft man. Right then, so things are coming through on the...
After I botched that up.
On the Facebook feed.
Hello, Our 20 Megabyte podcast is in Kirk. Robot by Terence Dix. Goodbye, Unit Mab. Hello, Harry Sullivan. Hello, Fourth Doctor. We have the Doctor trying on some crazy costumes. Then they finally settle on the Lavazzi scarf. Mad scientist Bernie Sanders wants to use his robot to blackmail the world. A secret group plot to take over the world, like an invasion of the dinosaurs. In the UK, there was a toy soldier called Action Man. One of the accessories was a tank. I think the unit tank here is an Action Man tank, placed close to the camera. I watched this on that website with the adverts. I could not find part 4. The K1 robot ran wild. Perhaps that's why K9 was developed as man's best friend. Bye for now.
Where do we get up to? There were several...
Well, actually, Master, I'm sure you've got a picture of the actual robot when you saw it at the Doctor Who Experience.
Probably, yes. Alan C. Butcher says, there were several original ideas in this story, admittedly not being used for the first time. Laurie Nick says, wait, read that again. Did Alan just admit he has a thing for Ms. Winters in that review? Well, I don't know. Did he?
I don't know.
Oh, she's going to read it again. She's reading it again. Right, so thanks to the internet for denying us Mr. Ian Kirk, just like to say that. That therefore leads to us to looking on the feed that Kirby put on, or the request that Kirby put on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Can't speak.
Indeed.
Help me speak. Right, where did he put it? I can't... Oh, is it here? Depending on where here. Right then, so, we got a few things come through. Kirby Bartlett Sloan said, how did I miss this? But miss what, Kirby? Both.
Look, the picture.
All three, depending...
Or all three, depending on if you count the Zygon, Lethbridge Stewart stopped the nuclear destruction of Earth. Ah. In this story, the Brigadier says, cancel the destructor codes.
Yeah.
And Day of the Doctor... Kate says, cancel the detonation.
Well, you didn't miss it, did you? So, it's one of your better points, Kirby. We've been waiting all year for this. It's coming to the end of 2017. Well done. Right then. Then there's Philip W. Cerner, Robert Feedback. Oh, sorry, Robot Feedback on its musical incoming, Adam. Use where you like in the show. Well, we used it at the peak of the show, didn't we, everybody? Of course, at the beginning of it, we had 7 viewers. We ended up with 3 at the end of it, but that doesn't matter. Either in the Facebook or toss in at the end or whatever. Well, I used it in the Facebook, Dr. Phil.
Feedback.
Feedback.
You said Facebook.
I did. It's a long...
Point deductive for me.
It's been No. I said the wrong thing on this occasion. I'll let it ride. Right, Lauren X says, watching Robot makes me want to flip my scarf out of the way, flop into a chair, and put my feet up.
Joshua, I have done exactly that, Laurie.
And Joshua Dybel says, email feedback over.
I flipped my scarf out of the way, I've flopped into a chair, and put my feet up.
I'm just going to say to Joshua, keep it coming, because his audio feedback was fantastic, wasn't it, everybody?
Indeed.
Thank you, Andy. A point for Andy for agreeing with me. Getting onto the right lines now. Right then, so, anything else anybody said that I've missed that might be on another thread somewhere?
Did you see where in the picture I posted of Dennis Price and Tom Baker?
No. What did I miss?
Ian Kirk then puts a picture of the Action Man tank.
Oh, did he? Can't really see that in an audio presentation, though, to be fair. But, yeah, thank you.
And Alan T. Butcher also says, concerning the differences in the costumes, says, he's got the wrong hat. Story ruined.
Ah, but one of the other characters had, if you look at your picture, Kirby.
Yes.
One of the other characters has the hat that the Doctor wears.
Yes, I know.
Wears.
So Alan T. Butcher
is
wrong.
Wrong, yes. Right then, so now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Woohoo!
Indeed.
So, Andy, who will be ahead at the end of the questions?
Debbie.
Okay. Helps I could actually spell Debbie, even though I'm married to one. Oh, good Lord. Terrible. Right now, I spelled it right now. Kirby, who will be ahead at the end of the questions?
Andy.
Say that every week, don't you? Debbie, who will be ahead at the end of the questions?
Kirby.
Oh, I thought she was going to go for herself for a moment there. All right. Andy, who will be last at the end of the questions?
Kirby.
Nice. Interesting. Kirby, who will be last?
Me.
Good Lord. Oh, I put it down as Kearney. Let's see if I'm right, Kirby, right. Debbie, who will be last?
Andy.
Okay. Right, so... current scores are in last place with no points. It's Andy and the lead with 1 point each. It's Kirby and Debbie. So the first question goes to Andy about last week's show. Who was introduced first on the podcast?
Well, it's probably you, but I don't think you really mean that.
Who did I introduce first?
So I will go with Kirby.
Nope.
Yes, who was it then, Kirby, you seem to know?
Debbie.
Yep.
It was. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Who said you still had the thoughtful nature and that's what I like about Doctor Who? You still had the thoughtful nature and that's what I like about Doctor Who. Who
Debbie.
Said that? Debbie.
Sounds grammatically correct.
Debbie.
You had thoughtful nature.
Debbie. Yes. Right. Who said...
Yes.
Shush. Who said, I was absolutely devastated when John Pertwee left?
Andy?
No, I'm going with Kirby.
You're going Kirby, are you?
For
a minute there, I thought you said Kirby was going, which would be quite good. No, it wasn't either of them. It was Billy Kirkbright. Right. Bonus pot. 3 points in it for this question. Who said, I would consider this one of the best?
Me.
You said that, did you?
Yeah.
No, I think it was Kirby.
Correct. You get all 3 points, Debbie. Even though I've put them on the wrong person.
You shouldn't give me a chance to save myself.
Well, she just said it. It's a free-for-all thingy, Kirby. You should know the rules.
Yes.
Right, okay. So, next... Oh, the scores are in last place with no points, Andy, and in joint lead with 4 points each. It's Kirby and Debbie. And next question goes to Andy. Who said Jackpot Sullivan?
I think I know.
Go on, Andy.
Kirby.
Okay. Go on in, Kirby.
I was going to say me.
Well, who is it then? It can't be you, obviously.
Andy.
It was
so, Andy,
indeed.
You should have gotten that one.
Yeah. Oh, Adam, I like the fact that you got the dog in the background.
He's been there for a while, but never mind. I obviously weren't watching at that point.
Yeah, you
the references to the Garm from Anity Butcher were because of him. Being in the miserable sod sat by the front door, panting. Right then, Alan T. Butcher magic over there. Right, the next question. Who was that last one for? I've been put off.
Me.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
Right. Who will be 72?
Tom Baker.
I don't think he will be somehow more like 82. Nope.
Okay.
Anybody? Oh dear. I'm going to have to play my countdown music. I wish this was shorter, this countdown music, because 30 seconds is such a long time.
Just go
no,
ahead,
we're not going to get it.
Forget it.
Oh, might as well play the whole thing now. Good old Richard Whiteley. one can of boredom, for that matter.
Five times the night.
Yes, so the crucial question such a long time ago was, who will be 72? The answer was Andy's father-in-law. Right. Okay, Debbie.
Yeah.
I believe it. That was Kirby's question, so this must be your question. Right then, so now we're into the robot story. And the question is, what was the Fourth Doctor's first audible words? So you would have seen them on the transcript of or subtitles. So what were his first audible words? Won't get this one.
No, I won't get that one.
I can try.
Hang on, I've got to put the point in the bonus pot going in, Kirby.
Human history.
Woohoo!
Blimey.
We haven't any of us used our jokers, have we?
No, we haven't.
Jokers are there, unused. Right, bonus pot. A good time to use your joker.
Well, when it would have done me no good to use a joker on... if it's not directly my question.
Oh, God. Right, there's 4 points in the bonus pot. Good time to use Joker if you know the answer to this question. What was Harry Sullivan's rank? It's all gone quiet over there.
I think I know.
Go on then.
Oh, God, I think, yeah, I think, go on, Kirby. Go on, Kirby. I think I know, but you go first.
Joker.
Yes.
Lieutenant.
It was a long pause.
Yeah, it was.
But he got there in the end. So.
I was going to say Lieutenant Surgeon, actually, but
No,
Lieutenant.
For some reason, I read it as Lieutenant.
No, it's Lieutenant. Yes, you glad you said it right. You would have had points deducted. Correct answer. Right.
There's no F in there.
There's no need to swear. Right then. So, I've lost where I was. Stop blooming coughing.
Kirby, for goodness sake.
I forgot how many points were in the bonus pot because you put me off.
Four.
Right, okay. I nearly gave him too many points. Oh, it's 8 points, wasn't it? There,
yeah.
Four. Right, okay. So the current score in last place with no points is Andy. Second place with 4 points.
I guessed wrong, didn't I?
Debbie, and in
yes,
the lead with 14 points, it's Kirby. Right. And you used to be a joker, Kirby, didn't you? So that goes down to zero. Right, Andy.
Yep.
Sorry, sick burp. Oh, pardon me, sorry.
As you do, mate, yep.
Sorry about that. Right, Andy, it's what was different about Benton?
Hang on a minute. Right, I'll play my joker here. He got the arm patch because he's been promoted, and he's...
Thank you. Kirby.
Master.
What did the robot attack first? Why have you gone all quiet?
I don't know.
You don't know why you've gone quiet?
What?
Why have you gone quiet?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you just went really, really quiet.
I don't know.
Oh, go on. Now you're getting back to your normal volume. You just went really quiet. Right. Okay. You don't know. Right. Right. So,
it was a gate. It was the guard at the gate.
Did anybody say I know after the Kirby?
No. Well, I'm gonna say
go
no.
on then, Andy.
It was the guard at the gate.
Not quite what I've got on my thingamajig, so it's going to be a...
I had said offense when you said you couldn't hear me, but...
Okay, never mind. I can hear you now. That's the important thing. The answer was the MOD Weapons Research Center.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Debbie.
Yes?
The Doctor's first costume was...
I know.
Oh, the Joker Viking costume.
Oop, ding. Correct. Everybody's used a Joker's. You're getting very good at this all of a sudden. Right, bonus spot question. 2 points for what county was Emmett's electronics in? Oh, dear.
No.
The answer was Essex, so that 2 point of bonus spot points rolls over. So the next question, the scores are in last place with 4 points, Andy. Second place with 8 points, Debbie, in the lead with 14 points. It's Kirby. Next question goes to Andy. Did I give you the answer to that last one? It was Essex. I did say that, didn't I?
Yes.
So, Andy, what time did Sarah's pass expire?
4 p.m.
Yay!
Kirby.
Keep going. You can do better, Andy.
Kirby.
Master?
Where did we see the number plate RMF654L?
I know.
Go on, then.
Yeah, first of all, you didn't give me a chance to say I don't know.
Can I
don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, go on. Sorry, Andy. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I've got it written down, and I've gone completely blank as to where it came from.
You've got it written down. Surely you'd be able to find it.
More points. Come on.
No, I've lost it. Oh, sugar. I've actually got it written down. I've lost it. Sorry, I've lost
it. The Brigadier is something you were.
Well, you didn't come up with an answer. Does anybody want to come up with an answer? No,
the
right.
Jeep was in.
No, it was Sarah's MG. Sorry, it was quite an easy one.
Yes, it's a private car. It's not a military car.
Yes. Right, whose question was that originally for? That's what it was now.
Me.
Therefore means it's Debbie's question.
You.
What did the robot first say to Sarah? It's gone very quiet again.
What are you doing here?
I'm doing a quiz at the moment.
Who are you?
Yes, Tibby, it was indeed. Who are you?
Who are you?
Why are you here?
Why are you here?
Right, so that means there's 5 points.
His voice was great.
It was, thank you. Bonus pop questions, sorry, points are now 5 for this question. What attracted Harry into doing his undercover mission?
I think because he wanted to be James Bond.
Is the correct answer. Right, so the current scores, in last place with 8 points it's Debbie, second place with 11 points it's Andy, and in the lead with 15 points is Kirby. Right, next question goes to Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Debbie. Bam!
You can do it. You can do it.
Right, Andy, it's this question. What was the colour of the Doctor's necktie?
Oh, brother.
Oh, jeepers creepers. Okay, it was blue.
No, it wasn't, no.
Brown. Was it red?
No. Hang on, I'm doing it too quick. I can't do my sound effect. No, it was green. Right, it's a sort of bohemian colour, isn't it?
Who wears green ties?
Good grief, right.
I've got a green tie.
Kirby.
I don't have any ties.
Kirby.
Master.
What was the safe made out of? Kirby.
Hey, come on.
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
What was it made?
It was
case hardened something. I don't remember.
Oh, I'll give you the point for case hardened because that was a good bit of detail.
Hang on a minute.
I'm giving him a point because I think that's quite good. Go on then, Andy. What was it?
It was like dinastrium.
Whoa, that's nearly right. I'll give you a point for that one. It was dying.
What was it?
Oh, good grief, hang on. The answer was case-hardened Dynastream. Case-hardened
Dynastream. At least I remember the case-hardened part.
Well done, both of you. Right. So, Debbie.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No, Debbie.
Yes.
What cabinet minister was killed?
I know.
I don't know offhand. I might as well do my losing streak good and proper.
Well, who said I know first? I think it was Kirby.
We both said it at the same time.
Debbie, who said I know first out of them two?
I don't know. It was the same time. Get them to do it again.
I think we were. I think we were really close together.
After three.
I want you to get more points.
Both of you say it at the same time after three. 1, 2, 3.
I know.
No, the answer. 1, 2, 3.
Joseph Chambers.
Right, that'll do.
Yes.
You say yes. That doesn't mean to say you knew it, Kirby.
Yes, I did know it.
But he's rigging it so Andy gets the points.
That's right.
Yes. He's trying to want me to win this.
So what you're trying to say is Kirby's cheating.
No.
I know. That's fine. No, it's fine. Fine. Annoying, but fine.
Blatant cheating. That's
the right. So who was that question originally for? Debbie, wasn't it? Right. Stop fiddling with your microphone. 3 points to... Sorry, 3 points in the bonus spot for this question.
Yeah.
What were the neo-Nazis called?
I know.
Go on, then.
The Scientific Reform Society.
Oh, good grief. Not what I've got written down. It probably is the answer, but nope.
Well, it's the Scientific Reform Society.
I know it was, but there was another name that I was... Never mind.
The Flying Saucers, Flat Earthers. Is
no, no. Think Tank. Thank you very much. Right then.
No. What? Think Tank is not the same thing.
No.
What was it then?
It's a research.
It's on all their literature.
Okay, well, forget that one. We'll dodge that question. And give Andy another one. Oh, another. Sorry, that was a bonus point question. Shut up!
Give Andy the point.
No, because I haven't got that written down, so I can't accept it. Right then, was that a bonus point question?
Yes, it was.
Right, we'll skip it and move to a different one. Right then. What was the name of the first of that particular group of people's men that Sarah met at the meeting?
Phillips.
What? No. Anybody come in with the right answer? Hello?
No.
Right, that'll roll over then. It was Mr. Short. So, the scores are still 8 to Debbie, 13 to Andy, 16 to Kirby. Next question goes to Andy.
Okay.
What were the letters... What letters were prominent at the meeting?
S-R-S.
Right.
Which means scientific...
Shut up.
Thank you, Kirby.
Shut up. Kirby.
Master.
How did the Doctor initially disable the robot?
Oh, yeah, I think I know.
All right, thank you, Andy.
Go ahead and let him know.
No.
Do it.
You don't know then, Kirby, is that what you're saying?
No.
You're not saying you don't know.
I don't know.
Go on then, Andy.
He put his hat over the
Oh,
head.
Duh.
Debbie.
Yes.
The Doctor got cross when he found out UNIT allowed Sarah to go off with whom?
I know.
With the Professor.
Professor who, though?
Nettlewell.
Thank you. That's what we're looking for. Bit more.
It wasn't Marianne. The Professor and Marianne.
Right then. 4 points in the bonus pot for this question. What did the Doctor have the freedom... what did the Doctor have the freedom to? I did say it right. In his pocket, one of the things that was brought out was the freedom to
the city of Skaro.
You couldn't resist it, could you, Kirby? It was a
pedantic
fact that came out there.
License for the Mars Venus rocket run, right, galactic pass.
In last place with 10 points, Debbie. Second place with 16 points, Andy. In the lead with 20 points, Kirby. Next question goes to Andy.
You can get it.
What number did the countdown start at?
300.
Yay.
Kirby.
Master.
Why did the robot grow?
Because of the virus that Kettlewell developed.
I think that's right.
Oh, no, it's not.
No. Anybody know the right answer?
I know, but
too late.
Someone else can answer.
Anybody know the right answer?
I know.
Oh, you can say it. We won't get any points for it. Go on, then.
It's because the Brigadier shot the gun at it.
Correct. Debbie.
Oh, right,
okay. What?
I was thinking shrink.
Yeah, thank you. What colour was the Brigadier's secret... Sorry, the Doctor's secret potion that he threw all over the robot? What colour was it, Deb?
I think I know.
Debbie.
I can't remember. I'm going to go green.
Good grief. It wasn't Andy. You know the answer.
Red.
See, I'm going colourblind.
See, I was going to say green, so I was wrong.
Actually, I was going to say green originally. Then Debbie said green. I thought, no, it can't be. So I read it.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go.
All right. 3 points in the bonus pot.
Redeem.
This question. Who was the last person we saw drive Bessie?
I think I know.
Go on, Em.
Sullivan.
Correct answer. Okay. Next person. Question goes to Andy. Oh, do you want a score update?
Sure.
Last place with 10 points, Debbie. Second place with 19 points, Andy. In the lead with 23 points, Kirby. Andy, this question.
Yeah.
How many reports in triplicate did the Brigadier want the Doctor to write?
I've got 17. 17, I've got it written down there.
Yay.
Got there in the end, didn't we? Right. Kirby.
Master.
How did the Doctor persuade Sarah to travel with him?
offering a jelly baby.
Well, the funny thing is, I forgot to write the answer down for that one.
I know that.
What is it then, Deb?
It says to cheer her up. He just says, take a trip in the TARDIS. We'll cheer you up.
Yeah, but is that what persuaded her, though? Because she wasn't going to do it, was she? No, you don't. We don't know the answer to that one. No. Right, who was that originally for, that one?
Me, I think.
Well, try this one then, Kirby. I have actually written down an answer for this one. Who only ate half a jelly baby?
Who was it? Can you say that again?
Who only ate half a jelly baby?
Harry.
Debbie.
Yes.
What was Harry's reaction to the TARDIS interior?
I think I know.
I know too.
Beg your pardon, Debbie.
It's bigger on the inside.
No.
Kirby laughed, like, so I'm presuming that from the fact that he laughed, he knows the answer. Go on then.
Who? It's like, oh my, or something.
Kirby.
Like that.
No. Kirby, what was it?
Oh, I say.
Yeah.
Oh, I say.
It's lovely. I love it.
And Debbie.
Oh, I say.
Debbie?
What?
Debbie. Hello,
what,
Debbie.
What was the question?
What? That was your question, was it?
Yes.
Good. It's not you then. Right. 1 point left. Bonus point question for the last one. Here it comes. What was the Brigadier's last words?
I guess I'll tell him you'll be late then.
Close enough.
Yes. Yeah, close go enough. On then. I'll give you that one. Nearly right. The answer was, well, I'll tell him you'll be a little late, was the actual answer, but that's fair enough. Shit, I swore then as well. Give him too many points. Right then, so the final scores of the quiz part of the game is in last place with 10 points, Debbie. In second place with 22 points, Andy. In the lead with 26 points, Kirby.
All right. Andy has won then.
No,
Andy, shush. So everybody be quiet or there will be points deducted. Okay, Andy. Sorry.
Shut up.
Andy predicted Debbie to be ahead.
Oh.
And then predicted Kirby to be last.
Yeah, I got it completely wrong.
Kirby predicted Andy to be ahead. And then predicted himself to be last. Debbie predicted Kirby to be ahead. And Andy to be last. Therefore, the final scores of this week's, you won't get this one. Stop unlocking your microphone. I should call this quiz now. In last place with 20 points, Debbie. In second place with 22 points, Andy. But the winner this week's with 26 points, it's Kirby. Right, with no Andy, further Andy, additions. Andy, Andy, hang Andy, on Andy. A second. With no further additions to the Facebook feed comments, we can move on to Doctor Who news before Kirby has a conversation with Andy, Andy, Andy.
I wanted to say to Andy that if you'll recall, I used to use the microphone that was attached to these headphones. The reason I stopped was because I kept hitting them. That's why I got a separate microphone.
Thank you.
That was a good tip, but he's just forked out a load of money for the one he's got. Leave him alone.
Well, I suppose what I could do is on the webcam, it's got a standalone mic, so I could try that and see if that works.
Yeah, because you can designate.
Right, who's in charge? Hang on, who's in charge? Who's in charge?
Yeah.
Right, Andy, stick with what you got. Just try not to knock it. It's much, much better than it used to be, isn't it, Deb?
Yes.
Right, so there you go. Shut up, Kirby. Right then, so Doctor Who news. We got The Lost Skin, written by Andy Frankham Allen, which is a Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart story. So essentially a unit story. If you like, would you call that fan fiction? Because it says Candy Bar Books has announced the next in its limited edition Lethbridge Stewart novella range.
Yeah, it just says Lethbridge is spin-off, doesn't it? So, yeah, fan fiction. by the looks of it.
Okay.
When they say spin-off like that, yeah.
Must be a great fan of the Brig to want to write a story like that. So there's been a competition roundup, something about Shard, which I'm not going to read. There's something about the Five Doctors audio book. Why would you want... Do you mind? That went right in my ear hole. Right then, and there's some other blurb I'm not going to read as well. Okay, right. It
what
says,
about the access to all areas? I'm,
that's where I've got to, darlings. Would you like to read that bit? Because it's got a picture of looks like Joe Wiley. Why would they?
It is Joe Wiley, yeah. As the 12th Doctor approaches his final story, BBC Radio 2 is to broadcast a two-hour special documentary looking at this behind the scenes of Doctor Who. Ooh. Broadcast on Thursday, 21st of December, my birthday, at 8 p.m. The programme sees Joe Wiley gain exclusive access to the Doctor Who team. She's going to chat to Pearl Mackey, David Bradley, Stephen Moffat and Peter Capaldi. She also hears from outgoing companion Matt Lucas and digs into the BBC Doctor Who archive. So there's all sorts of things.
Yes. Joe Wiley's a big Doctor Who fan. Right. So we've also got Doctor Who Preview Tour of the North. BBC North is offering fans the chance to watch this year's Christmas Doctor Who episode, Twice Upon a Time, at special preview screenings across the region. Why are they getting it? Starting...
Hey.
Hey?
I said, hey, that's not fair.
Well, it isn't fair. Starting in Hartlepool and finishing just before the big day in Bradford, the Christmas tour will take the 8 locations across the northern England to spread a little festive fun throughout the region.
Oh my goodness.
Entirely impressed with that, because all these people will know and potentially spoil it for everybody else. The dates
and
are...
And then you've got the kids, and in two cities, children will be able to get an exclusive preview of the animated version, The Highway Rat, that is coming out at Christmas.
Yes.
And also three new episodes of The League of Gentlemen. Why are they getting it all?
This is not right. I'm sorry, but it isn't right. North. Don't care, not right. But if you want to go to one of these things, the 14th of December is Hartlepool Town Hall, 15th of December, the Guildhall, York, 16th of December, Jubilee Church, Hull, real high-ranking venues so far, 17th of December, St Nicholas Cathedral in Newcastle, 18th of December is Middlesbrough Empire, 19th of December, Dock 10, Media City in Salford, which is essentially where the BBC is, 20th of December, Durham School, and 22nd of December, Old Odeon, Bradford. And then 25th of December, in your
Maybe
front
I
room.
I could swing it so I can go up to head office for Friday the 15th of December, because they're in York.
You have the power, my darling, Mrs. Melrose.
I do, yeah.
Right, sad news. Will you stop sneezing? That went right in my other ear hole. Right,
Me.
I know, it was Andy. Got you sneezing one ear. I've got sneezing all around the place. I'm trying to catch
I'm not sneezing.
You've got farting in the background.
Tom farting in the background.
Are you trying to blame Tom for that, are you? So, Tom, I'd object.
Well, he went past going hashtag drive by. So
I love it. That gets a ding. Brilliant. Right then. Rodney Bewes has passed away. The legendary Rodney Bewes, who was a likely lad, and he was in a certain Doctor Who story called The Resurrection of the Daleks, playing a stuttering character. I didn't realise he was that old. He was 79. Actually, not really that old, is it? But he was 79 when he died. And, a legend on British TV. And, sad news. We also have... What else we got? Anything interesting? Oh, that's the preview. So we've wrapped it right up now to the preview of the Christmas special, which we talked about last week. Right then, I did allude to the fact...
And then there's the news of the Comic-Con.
Did I not mention this earlier?
Oh, yes,
you did. Mentioned at the beginning.
We're not listening
to that bit.
But you can
mention at the end.
What, the fact that Isle of Wight Comic-Con is returning to Cowes Enterprise College. I would like to talk a little bit about this, because you were there, Deb, weren't you, when I had a conversation with Ben right at the end of the con, when he was saying, have you got anywhere you think might be a good venue that might be bigger? Because they were talking about Cowes Yacht Haven, which is bigger, but not necessarily hasn't necessarily got the charm.
Would not work so well as Cowes High will. Cowes Enterprise College will.
Cowes Enterprise College is a brand spanking new building. It's only like 3 years old. It's beautiful indoors. Huge. You've got a load of a movable sort of a stand, isn't it? It's where the seating, audience seating. Yeah. And they can open up a great big sort of screen which closes off their gymnasium. They can open that up, turn the seating, and turn it into a huge theatre. But they wouldn't necessarily do that because they probably want to use that for
That struck me more as a place where they're going to end up sort of doing the trade, you know, the trade area.
Well, Deb, there's also the the drama studio, which is large, and the dance studio.
Huge ones. Where we've got kids ready for their ballet exams would have been perfect for that.
So they've got the whole of the lower floor. And also including, which I thought was quite nice, because I did say to him at the time, it would be good for the school. They can generate some funds for the school for doing this. It would be great for the con. It's a lovely venue. But their food hall, they've said that the kids and the staff are going to come in over the weekend and man that. So that's revenue for the school. It's very exciting, and I can tell that Ben's really excited about the prospect of making that almost a permanent home for it, because I think it could be, because even if it doubles in size, it'll still be dwarfed by the size of the school itself.
I think it's wonderful. And then you've got the outside, should it ever really grow, you've got all the school playing field you could set.
Well, you've got the field itself. You've got in front, that beautiful paving. Hey? The what?
Sports.
That's why I said the sports hall. That's where you'd have as a trading area, wouldn't you? The sports hall.
Master?
Yes, dear.
Just yesterday, I was looking for any new YouTube videos of the most recent Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I only ran across one new one, but it was this girl who was walking down the road towards Comic-Con before she went in.
Yeah.
And she passed by the building.
Yeah. Yeah. Ironic, isn't it? Yeah, it's a very exciting prospect. I have a wedding on the Saturday, sadly, the 20th.
I'll be there.
But the wedding for me doesn't kick off until about midday, and there's a break for speeches, and it's in Newport, so I'll probably come along for the first couple of hours, go up and do part of the wedding, come back for an hour, and then go back away. So I will be there for part of Saturday. Yes?
I'm assuming you're still going to have a table set up, and Debbie can man it.
Of course, that's the plan. But I'd like there to be the opportunity for her to go around and enjoy the convention as well as be sat at the table.
You could import an American fan.
You can come over if you like, Kirby, but it'll be under your own funding. Maybe we should just come over under your own funding and get someone to crowdfund your hotel or something like that.
Skype in. If the Wi-Fi is any better, we could have Skype.
The Wi-Fi inside the school and the phone signal is appalling. Not so much Wi-Fi, the phone signal is appalling.
Are they going to sort that out for the train and everything? That's going to be a problem.
Well, they might have to do something about the Wi-Fi.
That's what we're moaning about in Northwood House.
Yeah. I will mention this to Ben once he started announcing guests, because then he can't back out then, can he?
ask if he wants any American fans.
Shut up, Kirby. They're getting American guests in. They had, I believe, Manu Bennett, which was quite a substantial, in a stature, American guest. No, he's not American, was he? He was from New Zealand. I apologise. Well, we had Brian O'Halloran, and I've since actually bought the movie Clerks. I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my iTunes ready to watch because I couldn't get anywhere else. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I did the same thing because I haven't watched it yet, but I did get it because I was curious.
Yes, I'm curious too. I've heard it's very good, so I'd like to see that film.
Yeah, someone named Debbie Melrose kind of recommended it.
Yeah.
I love the 90s to the noughties slacker movies, and he was in most of my favourite ones, so that's why it was such an honour to actually stand and chat.
There's a good chance he might be back next year. So what's going to be exciting, we've got the Isle of Wight Festival 50th anniversary coming up next year, and there's a lot of anticipation of some very, very big names coming to that.
The Isle of Wight's only 50 years old? Really? I thought it was much older than that geologically.
So we're hoping for some big names at the Isle of Wight Festival.
For next week if you're not
Did you say something about Prince? He won't be there. He's dead. So I'm hoping for there's talk of the Rolling Stones possibly, or Ed Sheeran, or somebody, ELO. That's one of the most I found most exciting.
I'd love
to see
ELO.
That
would be wonderful.
Because I know Jeff Lynne is touring, so fingers crossed, eh?
I can't wait until the Rolling Stones start showing up on stage with their walkers.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Disguised walkers.
I'd like to see the Stones for one last time. I saw them.
Seen the Stones.
I saw them in 1989, the last tour that Bill Wyman did with them. So I'd like to see them again.
Same tour I saw.
I went to see them twice that year. The first time I went there, I got all the way to Waterloo Station to find a sign saying Rolling Stones concert cancelled. So that I managed to... those tickets got me into the rescheduled gig, but it did cost me a lot of money to get to London for nothing. Right then, so moving on. Lavazzi have got a new... And I did advertise this on the 20 Megabyte page. A new line of scarves out.
Yay!
And there's also a competition for to win a free scarf, I believe. So you go to lavazzi.co.uk and look at their homepage. And then at the top of it, you have got Doctor Who. And on there, their new TARDIS knitted tie. I said scarf, didn't I? I meant tie. Which is rather pretty. The sort of thing Alan would wear. So Alan... somebody said they actually bought a Lavazzi. So wasn't it Alan? No, somebody. I know he does wear a Lavazzi scarf. So
That was the who sent feedback, audio feedback. He said that
Joshua.
Joshua.
They do ties now. Well, a new line of ties, along with their Christmas items, which looks like they're selling again. The lovely little hat, the woolly hat with the TARDIS and stuff on it, and the woolly TARDIS style scarf. So, yeah, it's not quite. It's $24.99. And it comes in the lovely Doctor Who box, among all the other beautiful items that Lavazzi do, including the iconic Fourth Doctor scarves that everybody seems to want if you're a Doctor Who fan. So, yes, go to lavazzi.co.uk. Our confirmed sponsors for 2018. Our current sponsors since 2010. Who1.co.uk.
Is that Who1.co.uk?
I forgot to speak to Alan, actually, because Alan went there before he embarked on the Comic-Con. He didn't say much about it, to be fair. But yes, he has been to that. So I wish people, if they do go to the Isle of Wight and you do go and visit Who1 in Ryde, mention the reason you've gone to visit is because you've heard of them on the show. It might persuade them to actually think, oh, well, they will contact them and we'll renew the sponsorship, although I've got to contact them as well, you know. But it just gives a bit of a heads up that proves that people have heard of the shop because of us. Right,
I've heard of it because of you.
Latest products: 101 Illustrated Adventures of Doctor Who, which is ready to buy if somebody for Christmas. Yes. We're falling into
thank
the
you. I don't, less I'm than glad a month to
go.
To
less than a month ago, Kirby. Hello, nobody's listening. Okay, right. Death Among the Stars, which is a audiobook, I think, of the 12th Doctor. It says Nicola Bryant reads an intriguing adventure of the 12th Doctor. Surely it'd be better if Peter Capaldi read it. I remember the first of the
Mercedes Benz.
11th Doctor book. Sorry, 10th Doctor books came out with David Tennant reading them. And it was... do you mind?
I just put my headphones off to try and sneeze away from it.
Anyway, as I was saying, the 10th Doctor, David Tennant, reading especially the book called Stormed Rules, as he called it. That's my favourite audiobook so far. It's good, isn't it? I wish they could turn that into a visual adventure. Andy.
Andy.
Doctor Who Magazine 519 is still available. If you live in America, get it quicker. Five Doctors audiobook and New Adventures of Bernice Summerfield, Ruler of the Universe, a Big Finish production. They're all available now and coming soon on pre-order. Outliers, Morton Legacy, Alien Amongst Us 1, Behemoth, Middle, Behemoth. Shut up you, Sharda, I want to get me Sharda, that's coming out on the 4th of December, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, I pre-ordered mine ages ago.
I must pre-order mine now, and a few Doctor Who
I pre-ordered mine about 2 weeks ago, but I don't get it until January, unfortunately.
Oh, we can spoil it.
The American copy's coming.
Kirby likes spoilers, so we can spoil it for him. We can tell him exactly what happened in Sharda, because he's never seen it before.
Oh, did you hear about the there was some news report that used the wrong animation in the
Yes,
news
I heard
report.
About this. Yes. And I saw the clip, but I don't know, I couldn't understand why it was a wrong animation.
It's the animation from the Ian Levine version.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Well, that's not... I didn't think it was that bad, to be fair. Never mind. Right then, so... next week I'm at the M&S Christmas party, so I won't be doing a podcast. The week after is the 10th of December, and that's when we aim to record the next show, where we'll be looking at Ark in Space. I've heard Andy might not be available, and probably won't be, but hopefully we'll have Mary back by then, and she can tell us all about Chicago TARDIS.
She's having a great time, apparently.
I haven't seen any pictures so far, but maybe I haven't been looking in the right places. Or maybe she's just not going to upload them until she gets home. I don't know, one way or another. So
I haven't seen any pictures.
I'm really eager to see what she's been up to and hear about what she's been. I wish she'd record something, but she's a podcaster after all.
90, everybody, that people can see.
Beg your pardon?
Isla's wearing a 20 megabyte t-shirt.
Oh, hang on. I haven't seen this because I haven't got my Skype page open. I want to see this. Let's have a look. Where is she then?
She's here.
I can't see her. Oh, there she is. Hang on, Isla.
A second ago.
Right, I'll just take a picture.
Say something, Debbie.
Something, Debbie. Something, Debbie. There you go. Is that right?
No. Debbie's got to say something for you to see.
Oh, hello. Yeah, there you go.
I can see Isla's wonderful T-shirt. I've just taken a picture of it, Deb. Oh, Deborah. Just taking a picture of it. Yes, I have. Yes.
Go on, go to the loop.
I don't want to go to the loo. I'll probably go in a minute when I finish the podcast, if I ever do finish it. No, really.
Me too.
Now, I have forgotten what I was going to say now. I was 2 weeks' time.
Sorry, interrupted for visuals when this is a radio show. Sorry.
Yes, indeed.
It's not. It's a podcast.
Shut up, Kirby. It's still a radio show, whether it's a podcast or not. It's an internet radio show, isn't it, Andy?
It is indeed.
Well done. Right then, so that's where we aim to record. The 10th of December is our last pre-Christmas show. We haven't quite decided exactly when we're going to do the Christmas one yet, but we are looking at Ark in Space next week. It's a four-parter.
Oh, you mean there's no way of doing another one between the 10th and the 25th?
No, there isn't, Kirby, because on the 17th of December, I will be doing the Robbie Williams Experience, which is a Robbie Williams tribute act, performing at Trinity Theatre in Cowes, a little treat for She Who Must Be Obeyed, and so I'll be at that particular event. And the day before that, I'm doing a wedding, and the week after that is Christmas Eve. Certainly won't be recording then, so the date I was aiming to do the Christmas show was hopefully, fingers crossed, the evening of Boxing Day, because during the day I'll be at the pantomime, so that's what we're
I'll
looking at.
I'll be at work.
So evening time, sort of time, really.
Since I no longer have BBC America, I don't know if I'll be able to get a friend to record a copy for me.
Oh, do your
not,
research and find it from somebody. You must be able to do. You've got between now and then to arrange that.
Be holding up a camera, put you in front of my TV.
Right, right.
You could do that, yes. I wouldn't vouch, and I wouldn't.
There's got to be a way I can buy it somewhere.
There's got to be a way. You've got to sort that out somehow, Kirby. Surely they're showing it in theatres around America. But find a way of doing it, otherwise you're fired. How's that?
That'll okay, go. So what? After all these years.
So that's it then. 2 weeks' time, Ark in Space. How many views have we got left at the moment? It's quite interesting. Four! Woohoo!
So Monday recordings are pretty much gone.
No, I'm
pretty much.
They're on hiatus. I'm not saying they won't ever come back. You've got to bear in mind that...
I'd never be able to do a Monday anymore. That is my designated day.
But I'm not saying they'll never happen. They probably will happen at some point when it's absolutely necessary, but they're not absolutely necessary at the moment. In fact, during January and February, it would be possible for me to do Mondays because I haven't got any weddings on.
They would be short for me because my work hours have shifted by half an hour. So I would have to leave half an hour earlier than I used to.
Oh, right, we're moving back to Mondays. Okay, right, the last couple of things that came through on the 20 megabyte video feed, Alan T. Butcher said they should get Gabriel Wolf to come to the event and lock him in one of the pyramids. And then Alan T. Butcher says, there's only one pyramid, isn't there? Alan T. Butcher said, I wore the scarf to the National Campaign Day yesterday. It was a cold day, but the reception for us was warm. Also, talking of scarves, today was the first day I actually did have to wear my Doctor Who scarf, which is over there. It was absolutely freezing. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to get my new trench coat, combining it with that scarf, and at some point in the future when I've got a bit of money, buying the specific Tom Baker hat, which I think would rather suit me with that particular garb. So that's just something I'm aiming for later in the winter. But thank you, everybody, for listening and watching the show, and all four of you that managed to stick it through to the end, well done. And until next week, don't forget, it's the Ark in Space, and thank you guys for joining me. Goodbye.
2 weeks.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Thank you, Magic, for flapping your ears at that particular moment.
Sorry. And you don't mean next week, you mean next time.
Oh, shut up.
Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.